Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with a deep appreciation for plaid. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
The Scope Post picked their favorite SNL cast members. We take a listen to the latest from the presidents of the United States of America. And Jared experiences epic fail when trying to ad-lib this joke.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
This is The Scope, episode 47.
Metal version!
Very serious, very introspective.
Is that Queensryche?
That would be the future... Is that the future heads?
No.
That's Three Man. Serious comedy.
Exactly. Are they the guys that sing
exactly
about
what this show is not. Serious comedy. But we are back with 47. We are just around the bend from episode 50, so...
What happens then?
We're going to coast for okay. Three episodes until we get there, or two episodes.
Good to know.
Yes, Jared, Adam, and Shane, the house. We have got a really jam-packed show today. We're going to be debating one of our favorite shows ever in the history of the world, Saturday Night Live. Well, Adam doesn't believe that. But
one of your favorite
one
shows.
One of my favorite shows. To make Adam happy, since he doesn't like SNL...
We're going to talk about Mad TV.
Right.
We're going to talk about Fridays. Thank you. Way back machine. Let's find out what's going on with Adam.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Oh, do I have a song?
What's going on in the life of the most elusive Scope host? Let's take a moment and catch up with Adam.
Thank you, Tony.
It sounds
Tony
almost party. Like designing women or something out there. Sweet Georgia, bruh. What is going on with you, Adam?
I don't know.
You're going on a big trip?
Why don't you interview me, interviewer?
Okay.
It can happen.
I've actually got a great Adam story to tell that segues directly into this that you have no idea, so
great.
I can talk about it a little bit.
Do it. Make it happen as you drink water.
All right. So last week, or actually a week, right after we filmed the show, or recorded the show, I love to film.
You're a great storyteller.
I am terrible. So yeah, the day after the show is I'm going to say filmed again, is recorded. And posted, I get a little letter in the mail, and it was very official looking. It was actually from the U.S. government or something that looked like the U.S. government. I don't know. It had the seal on it, had the whole very official looking thing. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, here comes the IRS. For some reason, you know, they're going to get me.
That's exactly what Jess thought when she got hers.
Really? Oh, yeah. So you know this story? Or we've had different...
I just know
where
know,
I'm going
it.
With
has to do with me, and you got an official letter in the mail, so...
Yeah, so I was really
okay.
I was really kind of worried about it. So I open up this letter, and it is not from the IRS. It's from some other government body. I don't even know who they are. Some organization. And pretty much what it is, it's a survey that wants my information about what I know about Mr. Adam.
Okay.
You know, like I don't know. He needs to get government clearance for something. Can you explain what that is, Adam? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, so the company I work for, you know, we work with schools for their you know, whole school-wide software stuff for managing students. So we have to be on school property and stuff. So we signed a deal with the Federal Bureau of Indian Education.
Okay.
It's a, but, you know, basically the federal government's in charge of Native American reservation schools and, or I guess... a portion of the federal government is in charge of it. So we just need to get federal clearance, federal security clearance before we're allowed on their property and to, you know, interact with their teachers. And, you know, it's just a really, really high level, well, I guess low level, very detailed, security clearance check thing.
Do you get some sort of laminated badge?
No,
you know,
but,
with a hologram on it.
But what is nice is that, so states don't require this right now,
okay.
Which is a little weird, but they do require usually a background check of some sort. So, you know, a normal one that you get probably when you get employed anywhere. So the current theory goes that states are actually going to start requiring this level soon, or not this level, but a higher level. But federal background checks always supersede state level ones. So by us getting this, we will already be clear for...
You're allowed anywhere,
well,
any state.
Yeah, I mean,
fantastic.
Yes.
So, Area 51, can you get us in?
I'll do my best.
Fantastic.
For their schools.
Busting right in.
But there
Stargate
are,
Command?
There are other federally controlled schools, too. So we'll have clearance of those, too, if we or when we sign them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's weird. And yeah, it's nerve-wracking to people. But I mean, I had, you know, I told everyone... I don't know how to say that. but I mentioned to everyone that, you know, I was using them as a reference or whatever. But I didn't know what it would look like, you know, when they got the information. I thought they would just be phone calls or yeah. whatever.
Or just, you know, this person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jess had the exact same reaction. She was like, I thought I was being audited. Like, she called and left me a voicemail. And she's like, I'm scared to open this. And then I called.
Well, informing you isn't going to change anything.
It's not like opening software. If you open it, then, you know, you can't return it.
Right.
So I called her back 10 minutes later, and I was like, it's just... And she's like, I know what it is now. I looked.
Will you be responsible for any sort of nuclear launch codes or anything?
Nuclear? Got some nuclear.
No.
Nuclear. I'll say it like our president. Nuclear.
Nuclear. Nuclear.
Well, yes, you know, it is nuclear.
The interesting thing about this survey, Adam, as you said, it wasn't just, you know, phone calls and, you know, do you know him? But they actually get into some fairly detailed questions about...
Because I think I used you as, like, a personal reference.
Oh, did you?
There's, like, work references, just to confirm that you work there.
Yeah. Did Jess get the same sort of letter? Or?
I think so.
Okay.
Address references.
Did they ask to talk to your rabbi?
No. The address
rabbi
reference.
Rabbi has nothing to do with
it. Worst Jew ever.
Just, you know, confirming that this person lived there. So there's work address and then personal. So, and none of them can be overlapping either. So you basically, and you need like 3 to 4 mm-hmm. contacts for each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or depending on how far back and how many different places you've lived in. Anyway, I was like, I don't even know 10 people. You know, like, I don't have 10 friends.
It's utterly amazing.
It's fascinating that you didn't give Jared one, because you would think that, one of the best... one of the best contacts they could have would be some dude that you'd have a podcast with.
I disavow all knowledge of Adam. As far as I know, he's just a construction of the show.
As soon as, like, under relationship, I'm like podcast co-host.
You're in.
No, they deny me right away.
Clearance accepted immediately.
Ooh, yeah.
It was funny because I was going through and they have little check boxes, you know. Does this person, to the best of your knowledge, have any mental or psychological issues? Any drinking issues? Any other issues that you want to talk about? And I'm thinking, you know, I know Adam pretty well, and he might actually sort of qualify for some of these things. I mean, he comes in, he's self-loathing, he's, you know, he doesn't like a lot of things. Should I be telling the government this stuff? I mean,
he's a pop culture elitist. I mean,
right. I do drink a lot sometimes.
He does.
Too.
He drinks a lot, and
I don't
know.
Anymore. Like, I have a hard time drinking a lot now. I get kind of bored and tired and want to go to bed. So,
well, the government needs to know this stuff. Okay. But and I'm also thinking, I'm thinking, do I lie? I mean, Adam's burned me so many times in the past that this could be my chance to sabotage him.
Sabotage.
Completely ruin his career.
Sabotage. I should sabotage.
I mean, I wonder if I told some fibs, would it possibly force you to not get one of these, preclude you from clearance? I wonder.
I would assume they would just investigate further, and then they would,
like, I'd be lying, and I'd get audited.
I'm sure that they have they have, like, a score system anyway, or, you know, whatever. But
scope score, Adam, 1¼ star for Adam.
So yeah,
clearance.
Scope score is 1¼ star.
It's exactly what I said, and Tony's
right
agrees.
On it. He's on top of it.
Jared, very quick on the sound effects today.
Yeah, I do what I can.
Well, Adam, just to ease your worried mind, I gave a fair and accurate accounting of
what I know of you.
Fair and accurate, you know. A little bit of a jingoistic pride thrown in there as well. I used the red, white, and blue stickers I put all over it, showing that I support our country.
And did you mention how I have, like, Hulk Hogan pins on my backpack?
You do things for all the little Hulkamaniacs out there.
Well, he's a real American hero.
Is that G.I. Joe? Fights for the right of every man.
G.I. Joe was, in fact, the real American hero.
He's a real American.
Yeah.
Fights
as
for the rights of all child and men. I think that's how it goes. Of all childs and men.
What are you talking about?
That's the Hulk Hogan song.
The song.
The Hulk Hogan song.
You know, I guess I'm not familiar with that.
Here, it's this one. This will remind you.
Just to make great podcasting, Adam's doing Hulk Hogan poses.
Fantastic. Now you remember, right?
Did you go like this, where you put through the ear and you lean in each part of the squared circle?
Or you got to shake a lot. once you're about to get pinned.
Well, you know me, Gene, I'm out here. Hulkamaniacs, drink your ride. Yeah. There we go.
That was definitely more of a Randy Savage than a Hulk Hogan.
When Hulk Hogan gets all pumped up, he sounds a little bit like Randy Savage. Oh. Maybe I'll break into Randy Savage later.
Oh, yeah! Break into it!
That's not Jared doing Randy Savage. That's constipated Jared.
Higher education got you down! Sorry. I'm squeezing out.
All right. So, anyway, Adam, you're good to go. I appreciate it.
I can leave now?
Yeah. Hmm? Okay. You're
good. I believe with my glowing... write-up of you, you're definitely going to get clearance, and your job is secure, so congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Anything else to share? You're going on a trip?
Going, yeah, to...
You and I are leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, we're both leaving tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna miss each other in the airport by like 2 hours, I think.
What time is your flight out here?
Mine's at 3:30, and so I'll probably get there around 2.
Yeah, my flight leaves around 2:30.
Okay. So. But yeah, so it's our first trip. It's
like we're tripping together, but not really, you know.
But, and where are you going, Texas?
I'm going to San Antonio. Okay. Deep. I won't even say in the heart of Texas because it's deeper. It's like it's more like in the groin.
It's,
like it's the groin of
the
Texas.
The groin of Texas. Nice.
It's the Mexico of Texas.
It really is.
We're going four blocks
away from the Alamo, by the way. Four.
Are
blocks.
Are you going to go on the tour and look for the basement?
Yeah, if you look at my MySpace page, I am preparing to find the basement of the Alamo. Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Will you actually have any free time to do anything?
Well,
or are you pretty much in and out.
You know, here. Sorry to take it away from you, Adam. We'll throw it back. But
I mean, you don't have a theme song, but whatever.
I don't, and you know, because I'm the one introducing the theme song, so I can't introduce my own. But
I guess.
I will have a little bit of time. The story is sort of funny. Is that the people that plan the trip, you know, were really adamant. That's not correct. They were adamant about us getting there early. So I'm like, okay, I'll take the early flight into San Antonio, get there about 5 o'clock, and then we can have time to put things together. And then I find out that these so-called trip planners, we're not going to be there till about 11. So some of us are going to be there just twiddling our thumbs for about 5 hours while these other folks jet set in and do nothing. So we will have a little time on Sunday evening, but who knows what's actually available on Sunday evening. Maybe we'll do the very famous river walk.
We can go to a late church service, perhaps.
There we go, yeah.
Have you checked out what the weather is supposed to be like? How long are you there for?
I'm just one night there. Yeah. But the others are spending two nights. But it's going to be in the 90s, from what I understand.
Wow. Yeah,
frame of reference, it's about 40 to 50 here right now, if we're lucky.
It's going to be 85 all week in Florida. So I'm there.
And very steamy, right?
Probably. I'm there Sunday to Friday. We actually found out that training on Friday that was supposed to happen got canceled, so it would cost us more to change our tickets and fly back Thursday than it would to just stay the extra night.
Yeah.
So we're just staying the extra night, and I kind of wanted to go to Disney World or Universal Studios, something in Orlando, because Orlando's only about an hour away.
Everything is just so connected there. So.
But the other people... didn't want to. They want to go to a beach, and I don't really want to see old ladies on a beach. Yeah. So.
Old hillbilly ladies.
That's not your idea of a good time, huh?
It isn't.
So I don't know.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
Or the opposite of that.
Right.
Loose. It's going to be loose, y'all.
I don't have that sound. You just have to use your imagination.
Well, I think we can expect a full report from both of us on the next episode of The Scope. I mean, if there's anything more compelling than two business trips, I really don't know what it is.
I'll tell you right now what it's going to be. Yeah, I watched and taught class in the morning, and then I went back to my hotel room and played World of Warcraft on my laptop.
A.K.A. playing with myself, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it when I call my penis my Tauren druid.
I think that's something we can all get behind. Jared, very quick on the sound effects. You know, I was going to bust Jared's balls a little bit because his girlfriend is in town, spending some time with him.
Does she not live here? Oh, she lives in Iowa.
She lives in Iowa. She's here. Yeah. And it's amazing. As soon as Adam and I got here, she ran for the door. couldn't be any more repulsed, mostly by Adam, but less.
That's not the reason.
Well, we know.
He has lunch plans.
And, you know, you look at Jared, and he's like an anime character, you know, that's a happy anime character. His eyes are giant, and there's stars
My
there.
My hair's purple, and yeah, there's speed lines behind me.
He speaks in very high-pitched, strange tones, and he jumps up and down.
His mouth's huge whenever he talks.
Yes, mm-hmm. I carry a sword that's twice my height.
Your hair is twice your height.
Pretty much.
So he's very happy, so if you guys sense a tonal shift of the show, it's because, well, you know why. So there we go. So we've all got things going on, and that's what we like to hear on the show.
Right.
So without further ado, let's push the show on into the guts. And what are the guts, you say? Oh, this time.
Sure, don't give them a chance at home to respond to your
question.
Well,
they can pause it. You know, okay. It's not live, so they, okay. What are the guts, you ask? Hit pause. Well, this week...
No, now it's a hit play.
Now hit play. They wouldn't hear it is the problem, Adam. Think about it.
This is a great moment right here.
It is. We're struggling with the limitations of radio-type comedy, I think, what we're doing. It's all about the top five Saturday Night Live cast members ever. What we're doing, each of us are picking our top five and debating it. And we might each also have a sort of wild card selection in there. Well,
or as I called it when Shane told me about this earlier.
The sixth.
The sixth.
But it's not... I think you can differentiate by...
I picked someone who I liked who wouldn't have been in the top five, I guess.
Yeah, they would have been in the top six.
Not in the top six, maybe, but... Fine. Whatever. That's
why I totally trash Adam in his government survey. Just for that right there.
Oh, yeah.
Eight drinks a day is what I said.
Yeah.
Hey, Jared.
And not spread out over time.
Exactly. That's a binge drinking type of thing.
Yeah.
Jared, you thought they should have been called the dead presidents, but oh, how wrong you were. We're reviewing the new release of...
Why are you making up quotes?
...of 90s goofball alternative band, the Presidents of the United States of America.
Really?
So there we go. This is episode 47. Let's kick it off right after this.
Yeah, let me get on the right page.
Come on, Mr. Sound Effect.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day.
Movie star Steve Guttenberg.
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day. You go, girl.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
But my guess is when that was filmed, Adam was -5.
That is correct. That was the best example of just opening theme without the opening announcement that I could find. So,
I like it, Jared. I like your work. I like your work ethic. That's why this show is a number one most downloaded podcast in iTunes. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Ricky,
I sure did.
Ricky Gervais or Gervais F.U., ESPN podcast. You don't hold a candle to this program.
Those cats over at Twit.
Yeah. We only have two comments at our iTunes page, but hey, you know, that doesn't mean anything.
Right on.
So today we take on a difficult task. Adam, Jared, and myself have combed the depths of the internet and our memory banks to cultivate our personal list of the top five cast members of SNL. We're talking the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the top of the line. For those of you that don't know, Saturday Night Live has been on NBC since October 11th, 1975. This Lorne Michaels joint, that's taken from Randy Jackson, it's a joint, has launched the careers of many of the world's funniest people and has...
Spike Jones?
Spike Jones is just a hater.
Jones.
Is
the other?
Spike Lee?
Lee?
Yeah, probably. Anyway, it's launched the careers of many of the world's funniest people and has been a part of, for better and worse, the American cultural vernacular for over 35 years. It's crazy. It has a storied history, actually not 35 years, but pretty close. So storied history, much of it covered in the excellent book, Live from New York, An Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. But our goal isn't to cover that. We just want to talk about the awesomest cast members ever. We now,
awesomest.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes. That word gets a red line in spell check, if you didn't know. We now present our list, our personal list, of the five best cast members ever, and like we said, a sixth member as well for Adam. And since Adam is such a big shot, he's going to start it off. He's looking through his notes. I bet you he's probably spent about 2 minutes thinking about it. And my guess, he's going to be very negative and surly because Saturday Night Live hasn't been great since... Anthony Michael Hall left.
Okay,
the show.
So
I don't
you're
know.
Already,
he was key.
You're already giving when you're cut off. Apparently,
wow.
Are you guys doing? Are we doing this in an order? I don't really have mine in a top five.
No,
order.
Nor do I. They're just five.
Okay.
The five best. If you were to put together a cast with five people,
okay, good.
Who would be in that cast? Adam.
All right. First, I'm going to go with David Spade.
Wow.
And you're going to probably notice a trend with mine in the
crappy picks.
In the years that they're around, but in my defense, 1990 I was 10, so you know, and in watching the old Comedy Central or the ones you know that they replay on E and Comedy Central, I think the ones from the early 80s suck pretty hard. So why David Spade? I'm going to go with, I have four major examples of why I really liked him.
You're way more prepared than I am.
Okay, well, you'll be in the middle better on this one, and then I'll... Go ahead.
So, Gap Girls, which is a dumb sketch, but I really like his interaction with Adam Sandler and Chris Farley, if you remember.
It's probably his best character on the show, okay, in my opinion.
Well, then there's also his Michael J. Fox impression, which is the only impression I'm including. He did a couple others, but that one stands out.
That was very good, yes.
Of course, Hollywood Minutes.
Ah, yes.
Which was his big thing and actually is now turned into, you know, it's kind of like a seasonal thing on Comedy Central, but he has a half-hour
showbiz
long
show.
Yeah, showbiz show, which I think is probably one of the best shows on TV. And lastly, and a lot of people don't remember this, but
I will remember it.
He made fun of Sean Penn to some degree, and then Sean Penn challenged him and said, I'll let you do an interview with me if you come get a tattoo. What, you know, like, let me give you a tattoo. He agreed to it, and now he has a Calvin and Hobbes tattoo on one of his shoulders that Sean Penn gave to him on one episode of Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you say the years that Spade was on the show? Do you have that?
He's like a 90 to 95. He's in that range. Mm-hmm. Him
Shane
and
taking notes.
Yeah,
taking notes. I'm just going to do a cross reference of everything. Okay, David Spade, Jared. What do you think of that pick?
That's not a bad pick. His reasons are all valid. Mm-hmm. Did not make my list, but yeah, I guess I can't fault. Although over the history of the show, Spade in the top five.
I think that Spade lacks some of the breadth of some of the best cast members.
Sure, but does it surprise you that the guy that does the sarcastic thing making fun of Hollywood is someone that I liked a lot?
And I can't fault Adam too much because
I can't fault you either.
My list is fairly personal as well. It's so I tried to not be
well. Thank you for not faulting me, guys, for my own opinions.
Keep going.
Oh, I thought we were
no. We're gonna go. You just do your entire
list. Doing my entire list. Yeah. Okay. Next up, I have, okay, so to follow up, David Spade, of course, if you have David Spade,
he's
going to
do the entire cast of 1993,
yeah, I think
he?
So.
You have to have Chris Farley. Some of the Farley highlights, of course, include the Chippendale Dancer, which is a famous sketch with Patrick Swayze. Then also brought to pseudo-real life in World of Warcraft, where the ogres, and this is completely... stupid thing I'm even mentioning, but
everything comes back to World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I know. There's a race of ogres, and when they do their dance emote, it's the same dance that he does.
Really?
And they're giant and fat, and it looks just like him. Gap Girls.
What do you think of the reappearance of Farley's brother, who's doing all these commercials which
and,
is very, very strange
and
to see him.
And he was in Jericho, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned
it looks like him. I mean, it's frightening.
Oh,
Yeah. I think he plays up the Farley angle, too. Just, you know
what
I mean?
Getting paid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think so. I mean, good for him, I guess, but it is kind of, it's like a ghost coming back.
I don't know. I don't really see it as that. In fact, I don't think unless I knew it was his brother to begin with, that I would recognize him. I don't think they really look alike.
I think you're crazy.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Didn't interrupt
you. So again, with Chris Farley, he's also in the Gap Girls, and a funny line that Jess and I always mention is there's a part where they're all sitting around the table, and Farley keeps eating everyone's fries, and David Spade's Gap Girl character is like, didn't you say you're going on a diet?
He goes,
right.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Yes, exactly. That was no. It. See right there.
And he goes like this.
It's in his notes.
Goes, oh my God, they're good. Our good friend Al, the music critic of the Scope, does that whole bit perfectly.
Does he?
One of his favorite of all times. If he still listens to the show, I think he does, he would be behind you 100%.
Okay.
We should have had Al here for that because he could have just done his Chris Farley imitation.
Yeah, just popped in and then gone home.
My God, Wendy, aren't you on a diet or something?
And one more. He does a really good Carney Wilson impression. I really love guys, especially fat guys, doing fat women impressions, like John Goodman's, not Monica.
Linda Tripp.
Linda Tripp, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was always really good.
Well, she's just a C word, so.
All right. And lastly, Bennett Brower, who was the Weekend Update guy who always used air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Did you mention the guy down by the river?
No, because I didn't really ever think that was that funny.
I think the first one they'd ever did was hilarious.
Matt Foley, motivational speaker.
Spade, yeah, is laughing.
Christina Applegate, completely
that's
busting
the only one that I like.
Look at here, Dad. What do we have here? A little Will Shakespeare.
We actually encourage Jimmy to do his writing.
All right.
Dad, why don't you just shut your big yapper?
Thank you.
Somehow I think Farley's going to be on your list, too.
He's not.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so...
It's just an opinion.
I'm saving my best one for last, I guess, okay. So I'm going to go with the other two.
Spade isn't your best one?
No commentary on Farley? Mm-hmm. No.
I did. That was
common. No, us.
Oh, you guys, yeah.
I think it's a good pick.
All my fingers are crossed for Ellen Cleghorn.
Ooh, maybe.
All right. So thank the you. Next two are a little bit newer. I wanted to take someone from the new cast, which was kind of hard to do, but I decided to go with Seth Meyers. I really only like him for three things. The DJ Jonathan Feinstein character from Jared's Room, where like he was the guy that sat in the corner and would sometimes he would just play a tape, you know, mm-hmm. over and over again, or he would like pretend like he's spinning a record, but it's really a CD playing, and he pretended he had a British accent. And now I'm remembering Jess really likes him too, but the fact that someone pretending to have a British accent and Jess liking it is anti-Jess, because that's why she hates Gary.
It's a very Jess-centered show today.
That's why she hates who?
Gary.
Oh.
you remember.
Yikes, yeah.
Next up is the Oh Snap character, which they don't do anymore.
No.
But if you remember, it was that he would just like, you know, they would go Oh Snap back and forth yep. with each other, and they would, you know.
Well, he doesn't really do any characters in
no.
the show.
Once you do Weekend Update, you are almost eliminated from any sort of skit
kind of
performance. Yeah, Tina Fey would do it every
and so speaking of that, I think he's good on Update, and I thought he was good with Tina Fey, and or I think he's better than what's her name, the blonde,
Amy Poehler.
Yeah. Yeah,
what do you think of that, Jared?
I wouldn't put Seth Meyers in the top five. I don't know. I guess maybe I don't have the great love for him. There's other people on the new cast that I like better.
He is head writer.
Right. And he's a really funny interview on Conan. But for only including things on SNL, I didn't want to include that. Next up, before my top pick, is Tracy Morgan. And I think this has
Can you do a Tracy Morgan imitation?
Here, let me put on my wig like he puts on Star Jones's wig. Mm-hmm. That's the only one.
I'm a lawyer.
My
name's Tracy Morgan.
Has a lot to do with, I think, his appearance on the Stern Show.
Gurkle. Guckle.
He's by far one of the best interviews
ever in the history of interviews.
Not even on Star, just on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of my favorite things I just mentioned, Star Jones. It's just hilarious. The opening intro to the fake View that they did.
I'm like a Blade Runner.
he's throwing on the Star Jones wig, and he does like a double take at the camera.
I wanted to gather
and
four women.
His and his ugly Maya Angelou because she is one of the ugliest women ever. And lastly is Astronaut Jones, which a lot of people don't
Astronaut
like.
Astronaut Jones is pretty funny.
I think it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the Britney Spears episode.
Bizarre.
And yeah. And it was always thrown in as like the next to last sketch, but I always thought it was really
good. Liked his the animal guy, the sort of the retarded animal guy.
Ryan Fellows.
They overplayed it, but at the beginning it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was strange, you know.
I liked his character that lived in the sewer. What's her name? Goldie Hawn's daughter would come to visit.
Kate Hudson
like came down to visit him, and I thought
he was a mess, yeah. Crazy mess. So Tracy Morgan, good pick.
I'm gonna get you pregnant.
So what's your last couple picks here, Adam? Let's get to it.
All right. So my best cast member, and it's really just because I have the most quotes from him that I'll try to do all of, is Norm Macdonald. Some of the better characters, obviously, there's the what's his name from Jeopardy,
Alex Trebek,
no,
Burt Reynolds,
right? Where he would, you know, wear the giant hat and shit.
Yeah.
But my favorite was when he played Bob Dole on The Real World.
Hey. It's Bob Dole
peeking around the corner as the two men are making
right,
out.
Right, and it was
nobody.
Like,
it's Bob Dole's peanut butter.
Yeah,
Bob Dole's peanut butter.
It was so good. He was always so good on Update with the whole OJ thing, mm-hmm. and getting fired going back and forth. And all of his great references to prison rape, crack whores, and the Germans with their love of Baywatch star David Hasselhoff. If you remember, sometimes he would turn to the side, like not looking at the camera, and hold up his like personal tape recorder and like make a note about Germans loving David Hasselhoff.
By the way, that whole saga of the OJ comedy bits is covered in that SNL book quite a bit.
Oh, so okay.
That's interesting.
And before I get to his best impression, in a Rolling Stone interview, Chris Kattan said, "If Norm says I'm gay, then put in there that I say he's an asshole." Because apparently he didn't get along well with probably anyone from his cast.
Yeah, he's a very odd duck, isn't he?
Yeah. But my favorite impression that actually was, you know, had more than one or two appearances was Larry King. Oftentimes he would just, they'd be like just really quick things, and he would just do, you know, random Larry King impressions, such as, if you only see one film for the rest of your life, it should be Mickey Blue Eyes. When it comes to window blinds, vertical blinds are terrific, but so are horizontal blinds.
Do it as Larry King.
I can't do impressions. Has anyone ever died of a heart attack? I mean, really? That's like a Regis, right?
Yeah, you really can't do impressions.
I'm coming out of my mind. I mean, really?
I don't care what anyone says. In my book, Ted Kaczynski is not the Unabomber. My wish for the next millennium is that we see a lot more of John Larroquette.
Well, yeah, that's perfectly reasonable.
You know, Norm MacDonald also did imitation of Letterman before anybody else really did Letterman.
Yeah, and that's another really good one, because it's just, you got, anyone got any gum? And
yeah. Yeah. And he was worried he was going to piss off Letterman, and I think Dave didn't get it at first, but eventually warmed up to it, and they're good friends now. So there you go.
In my mind, I can do a good Larry King impression, but it doesn't actually.
Doesn't everyone know in their mind? Yeah, honestly.
Maybe. So who's your wild card? Who's
my
the sixth pick?
Wild card is Dr. Robert Smigel.
Boy, digging the obscure
DFA. Well, I had to make sure I didn't get any ones that you guys would get, so I picked all shitty people. So best known now for TV Funhouse and everything. There's a lot of non-animated TV Funhouse episodes, whatever you want to call them, skits that I really like. There's one where him and Tracy Morgan went to a Knicks game, and they had a camcorder, and they just filmed the entire people watching it. And there were like 9 black people in the entire arena watching.
Yeah.
And everyone on the court at the time is 10 black guys. And I assumed it was a social commentary kind of on, you know, now, oh, they're still here for our amusement. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, in the 30s or 40s or whatever when it was.
70s.
All right.
80s.
So, I don't know. I like that. I kind of like, you know, what a dick he is. And he played the superfan Walt, which people don't really remember because it was kind of a throwaway character. I think he had like 2 lines.
I don't remember that.
You know, superfans?
Oh, yeah.
The Bears guys.
Yep, the Bears guys. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Bears.
So, and, you know, he pretty much is the, you know, creator, and not creator, he is Triumph. I mean, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Obviously, he wasn't on the show, but
right,
his reach is vast and far. He writes for a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he's a pretty funny guy.
There was a writer's strike, I guess maybe just an SNL writer's strike or an NBC writer's strike, like in 88 or 89, and him, Conan, and Bob Odenkirk went and created their own mini show just based in Chicago for 6 months or something, and that's how he got the lead writer job on Conan, and from that.
Very nice.
Well, thanks.
So I've got Adam's list tallied. Jared, what
that's
about your
me.
List? You've got 6 picks. Let's get to
I
it.
I do. I've got 5 plus a dark horse, and I apologize. I'm not nearly as well researched.
I wonder why that could be.
Angie. I didn't have the time. Oh, please.
Starry-eyed surprise.
Okay. It's never going to get old with you, is it?
Never. Not till you stop smiling.
Fine. I'll put on a dour face for this.
Did she listen to last week's podcast?
Yes.
Now she listens to the show.
Did you see my comment?
Yeah.
That wasn't weird?
No.
Okay.
I don't
let Mandy listen to the show.
Well, okay.
Like, she doesn't have the internet, so it's easy for me to.
Yeah. Yeah. If she wanted to.
I'm not sure what this has to do with SNL, though.
Uh-oh. Look at here. Here we go. New show. New B-block, everybody.
Wow. No,
Jared's life.
Talk about me.
Okay, go ahead, Jared.
Okay. So in no particular order, my top 5, I'm going to start off with Eddie Murphy. That's right. I'll do the applause for me, too. This was probably right at the beginning of where I would have been paying attention to SNL. And actually, a lot of it I saw in reruns. But, I mean, obviously, you can't argue with the success he had with post-show. But he had quite a few, you know, really memorable characters on the show. Gumby and Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, James Brown. To me, in those early years, he was probably the standout member. And clearly, he went on to great success from that. So, there you go. Eddie Murphy.
Can't argue with that.
The thing I remember, so the early cast, because I really hate those episodes. The only things I really remember about most of them are seeing like the best ofs, you know, like,
yeah.
I remember watching the, I guess it was the 15th anniversary in 1990. And so I like the buckwheat or buckwheat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
sings. Yeah. Buckwheat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like,
the thing with SNL, especially, you know, we kind of latch on at the times, you know, to the times in where we started watching.
It's the same thing with music.
But yeah. It is. I mean, there's a social relevance to the shows. So if you started watching in 1990, the stuff in 1994 may not mean as much to you, you know? And I think comedy also has probably become a little bit more sophisticated in how it's portrayed. You know, that people learn how to do things differently and be funnier. So
I think so.
So that may be part of Adam's problem.
I would
part
call
of
a problem.
It, just part of it.
Yeah, I'd call it clarity.
And you'll find that most of my top five are people who did characters very well. For some reason, those are the skits
added to the show.
Like. Yeah, I mean, just having different personalities rather than just, you know, four girls go to a bar and start doing sexy dancing to whatever song's on the jukebox.
Uh oh.
Just to quote a recent sketch. I mean, it's
very
like,
nice.
Whatever. That's not that funny. You can get a character that can kind of recur and be funny consistently. That's a big deal to me.
Hell yeah, Debbie Downer.
Funny ones. Jared.
My next pick, like Adam, I wanted to pick someone from the current cast that I think is probably one of the best. And for me, she's the best female that has ever been on the show, and that's Kristen Wiig. Again, she just brings an excellence to her characters. They seem fully fleshed out. And even her supporting role, she's always just completely dedicated to it. Doesn't flub lines. And is often the funniest person in the ensemble. So there you go. You got to like her target lady. What's the name of the neurotic girl who's always trying to one-up everyone?
Cripes.
That character is just hilarious.
It is. They've had it many times, and it doesn't really get that old.
No. It's just,
it probably will, but...
I'll say that I agree that she's probably the funniest. Because you call it misogynistic, whatever. I don't think women are usually that funny. And ooh. I've had this conversation with Jess multiple times. She agrees. So there's a girl that agrees with it. But I think that those two characters are really annoying. I think she's
wow.
funny. I think she's funny. But
yeah.
I'm like so tired of them. The Target one is not... I didn't think that was funny the first time. I did think the lying lady was funny the first time, but you know, it's almost any character that they do, they do too much, and it's not funny to me anymore. It's not fun.
It's not funny.
Yeah, it's a struggle. If you don't have good writing behind it, then it, you know, any recurring character can get
I think they burn those characters out much more quickly than they used to.
If we never see a Deep House Dish again, we'll be okay.
One of the worst bits ever on
but,
the show.
But I do agree that she's, as far as I can remember back, I always liked Tina Fey, but other than Update, I never really, you know, appreciated her.
You go back to those mid to late 90s, and you had the really strong female cast. But I wasn't really watching the show, so I kind of missed out on that. And some of the stuff I've seen in reruns is just, I don't know. Maybe it didn't work for me. I was...
you hated Pat.
That goes back to...
That's even further.
Yeah.
Julia Sweeney.
Early 90s. And
late
I never really liked Julia Sweeney. But I guess, you know, Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn were pretty good during the late
Jan
80s
Hooks
era.
Jan Hooks banged Lauren Michaels, actually,
that's,
quite a bit.
That's great.
Not Jan Hooks. Nora Dunn. I'm sorry. Jan Hooks, I liked Jan Hooks, by the way.
From Feds?
Was she in Feds?
Possibly.
What's the one in... Who's the lady in Feds? I can't remember. Not Terry Garr.
I don't know, but let's get Jared's third pick.
Let's see. What do I want to do for number three here? Tough choice here. I'm going to go to probably the only representation from the mid-90s to early 2000s, and that's going to be Will Ferrell. Again, it comes down to memorable characters. Just I'm going to blank on all the names, but the singing duo, him and... was it Molly Shannon that he did that
no,
with?
No, it was... Anna
Gasteyer, right. That, the cheerleaders, the immortal Blue Oyster Cult cowbell sketch. I mean, that's just classic.
Guy from Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yep, exactly.
The,
George Lipton.
The weird professor who was very sexual.
Alex Trebek. It's just, you know, a million different characters.
George Bush, of
sure,
course.
Some of them are kind of variations on the same Will Ferrellisms, but I don't know. They always make me laugh.
The patriotic one where he was in the tidy.
I don't know if I know that one.
Yeah, it was kind of
it's from Shane's dreams.
That's no, it was a take on the attitude. What should we do about dealing with patriotism after 9/11? And it was a guy. They were at a business meeting, and he was playing someone who came in red, white, and blue star spangled speedos, right. Pretty much. Right.
Okay.
Which was hilarious. Yep. It was very funny, and it.
I think I caught that on one of the package shows or something.
Yeah.
Best of the 90s.
The only one that I can recall that you guys are missing is Harry Carey.
Oh, Harry Carey is really good.
Especially when he was dead and they did Harry Carey in heaven. That was really good.
That was funny.
Classic. All right. So for my last two, and then we'll get to the Dark Horse. This kind of gets right into the meat of the series when I was watching it heavily, and that would be my high school years. And I'm going to go with Phil Hartman. For me, I mean, he was never a flashy person, but he definitely had some characters that were good. But he was always kind of the ultimate utility guy. He was in just about every sketch, could do just about any character, any voice, was on the show for an awful long time, and died tragically, unfortunately. That made me really sad. But
killed by a Minnesotan.
Yeah, great. Another claim to fame for mm-hmm. us.
She's one of us.
But, remember, it was really Andy Dick's fault, though.
Probably.
Right. Just, you know, he was always... I always enjoyed seeing him in the shows, and there you go. I don't know what else to say.
I think it's a good pick.
Yeah.
It's a very good pick.
Thank you.
That's why I didn't pick it, because I knew one of you guys would pick it.
And now for my final pick of the top five. This is the person that was an easy pick for number one for me, and this one I will put at number one, definitely, and that's going to be Dana Carvey. Might be on Shane's list, too, but had to go with it. I'm repeating myself, but... He was ultimate character guy, you know, Church Lady, Garth from Wayne's World.
Garth Elgar.
He did one of the perhaps funniest, at least for me and my friends, bits ever on the show, and that was the whole Chopping Broccoli sequence, where he's just making up songs about things that are happening, and he makes up a song about chopping broccoli.
That was... Dunn was on his very first show,
yep.
And it's straight from his stand-up act, it killed.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I actually got to see his stand-up act years ago at the Guthrie. And
who hosted that first show that starred that cast? Do you remember?
Steve Martin.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver. Very good, Adam.
That's she's in that clip from the...
Yeah, they play music producers, and he is a weird British guy trying to come up with a song on the spot.
Yep. Johnny Carson, fantastic impression with... Phil Hartman on as Ed McMahon. So there you go.
Drunk as a skunk, sir. Yes,
that is my top five. Now
I just wanted to mention two things. I always liked
Harry. Oh, that was the dog would be eating his brain.
Yeah. My.
And about three quarters of the skits that Spade wrote in his first 2 years actually went to Dana Carvey.
Really?
And right before Spade got started doing Hollywood Minute, he was. Almost let go because something in their contracts has to do with how much actual FaceTime they get.
And sure.
I don't know how it works, but because all of his stuff kept going to Dana Carvey, he almost got fired before.
Dang.
Too bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned it around. And Jared, your wild card.
Here we go. My wild card, also from the same era. I'm going with John Lovitz. Yes, John Lovitz. A lot of people hated him. Thought he was annoying. I mean, he actually played the annoying guy character.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just love. I love.
You
his
don't need to yell.
I loved his Mephistopheles. I loved his whatever the acting guy was. Acting brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just I don't know.
Master Thespian.
That's what it was.
The liar.
Yep. The liar. Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah. I don't know. He just had a lot of great characters that I really liked, and he's only had. Moderate success post the show, I guess, mm-hmm. but
had the unfortunate gig of following up Phil Hartman on news radio,
right?
And it was canceled after that year.
But hey, he punched Andy Dick in the face because Andy.
Oh,
Dick.
That's right.
So.
I don't remember that. What
that was? They talked about it on Stern
because Andy Dick was supposedly gave Phil Hartman's wife coke. When she was
right.
clean, and then
and that set her on her bender.
Wow.
And it, yeah. Who knows if that's true, but.
Me.
Makes for
Adam knows it's true.
Adam in the Hollywood Loop.
You heard it here first.
By the way,
Scope Hollywood Minute.
When you say you heard that on Stern, it was actually on the Scope show because it was on the news.
Oh, was it?
I included in the news, so yeah.
Jared blending one of the best radio shows ever with another one of the best radio shows ever. His memories just mixed together.
They didn't talk about it on Stern, too?
Oh, they probably did.
Yeah. But we had it here first, I guess. There you go. That is my 5+1.
I like it.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, we'll get to me.
So far, no overlap.
Well, we're going to have some overlap.
Yeah,
now.
I kind of figured. You and I hit the same age group. So.
I mean, if I were to pick 10 people, I probably would have a couple of Adams on my list as well. So, but unfortunately, Adam does not get any overlap with me. And I will read mine in chronological order.
Okay.
Did you want
the years for me or not? I haven't read them.
Well, I have some of the years for some of them. So.
All right.
And I go back to the beginning. I mean, it's an easy thing to do. You lean on the originals, but I think that there's some value in that. My first pick is John Belushi, 75 to 79. I've seen most of those shows, not most of those shows, but most of my exposure to that is in reruns. So,
obviously.
Yeah, I was one when the show came out. I didn't even live in the country at the time. But here's the thing. John Belushi, you can say what you want about Chevy Chase going on a big starter, but John Belushi was probably the first guy from SNL to really... blow up that format. I mean, there really hadn't been any shows like that before.
Sure.
And I think he was the guy that got it right first. And, he kind of cultivated his career on the show and stayed with it for, 4 years and, turned that into a movie career at the same time. Whereas, Chevy Chase left pretty quickly after that. But Belushi was the guy that probably could have been pretty famous for a long time if he wouldn't OD'd.
Yeah.
Some of his characters... he did, obviously, The Samurai, Blues Brothers. He did, 30-plus celeb impressions. Liz Taylor, Joe Cocker, The Incredible Hulk, Yasser Arafat. So, he's pretty talented and pretty varied in his skills. And to me, that was one thing that I took into account when I was doing my list. Is not only could they be funny guys, but I think they had to, mesh well on the show for what the show needs, which is characters and impressions.
Yeah. Got to be topical.
John Belushi, first guy to pretty much be balls to the wall all the time on that, and I think you'll find that with my list in general is the people that were fearless and just went out every single time, even if the sketch was stupid, they got my vote. So, number one, 75 to 79. Number two, this is my first crossover with Jared. I picked Eddie Murphy. I mean, you have to pick Eddie Murphy. He was 80 to 84. He was there about the same length of time as Belushi, and... when the first cast of SNL, when they left in 79, the question is, what's going to happen to the show? Should they just cancel it?
And yeah, I wasn't sure that it was going to stick around.
It was really on the bubble. And that first year, they brought in pretty much a cast of nobodies for the time. You'd recognize some of them. I think Gilbert Godfrey was in that cast. John Krasner-Ninsky, something or other. He was a police academy guy. Some other people you might recognize.
I think you just named the guy from The Office.
No, he has a very similar name to that. It's some weird name that ends with an I. But this full cast just didn't really quite click. But they kept Joe Piscopo and John Belushi, or not John Belushi, and Eddie Murphy, and brought them into kind of the 81 year, and then it was just they just exploded. So you might say that Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo saved the show from cancellation. It's sort of odd to think that Joe Piscopo did anything great, but in those early 80s, he was as good as anybody.
Man, he's unwatchable now. Like those old things, those are some of the things I hate the most. I can't watch because of him.
I think his Sinatra is pretty good, but I always like the mean-spirited version that Phil Hartman did better. It was like he was sort of like viewed through a strange circus mirror or something. But
he hated Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Candid cue ball. The one little note about Eddie Murphy, only cast member to host the show while also being a cast member.
Huh.
Nobody else has ever done that. My third is another overlap with Jared, going back to Dana Carvey. Obviously, tons of characters, tons of impressions, and I think that he could be the first master impressionist ever to be on that show. I mean, he hit on every single guy that he did. Jared mentioned
George
a bunch.
George Bush,
Ross Perot, hilarious.
Yes.
Paul McCartney, he did. John McLaughlin, McLaughlin Group, which is hilarious. One of the perfect spot on.
Duckerman!
Exactly. George Michael, Look at My Butt. He did Dennis Miller, which was hilarious.
when they both did update at the same time.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And Jared also did not mention one of my favorite guys of all time, the grumpy old man.
Right. Damn it.
Good
my
stuff.
Day.
I'll just do Dana Carvey's actor for me.
The only knock I would have on Dana Carvey would be he probably stayed about a year to a year and a half longer than he should have. I mean, he could have went out, you know, at the appropriate time, but also been at the top of his game. And I think when they started transitioning over to the Mike Myers, Phil Spade, or David's Phil Spade, David Spade, Phil Spade, a guy I worked with.
I thought you were going to say Phil Spector for a second.
So I think he overstayed his welcome, but you know,
it's the Daryl Hammond disease.
And yeah, exactly. Well, I think Daryl Hammond's pretty good, but Dana Carvey, by the way, 86 to 93, so he was there quite a long time.
Yeah.
My next overlapping pick with Jared would be Phil Hartman. As Jared said, this guy was the ultimate utility man. You could count on him to do anything, and he pulled it off very well. A lot of people don't remember, but Hartman started off in the Reagan years, so he actually did an imitation of Ronald Reagan. And his whole angle on that was that Reagan was this senile guy in front of the camera, but as soon as everybody went away, he was the smartest, most cunning man on Earth. And he didn't get the chance to do it very long, because I think that Bush came in right after that. He also did Phil Donahue, Bill Clinton, arguably the best Bill Clinton, and he did Frankenstein, which Frankenstein, Tonto, great combination. Frankenstein, Tonto, and who's the third guy? Tarzan. One of the best bits ever. And you didn't mention Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer and the Anal Retentive Chef, which I always thought was hilarious, you know?
Now that's trash you can live with.
He'd wrap it up in foil and rewrap it, put it in a cozy, and drop it gently into the basket.
I still remember Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, and that one's actually really good. I'd completely forgotten.
I'm scared of your...
I don't understand your technology.
Your cell phones and your Lamborghinis and and your room service.
I do know this. Caveman Lawyer.
This man is innocent.
I'm just a caveman.
I'm a simple man. Your lightning scares me. When my cell phone rings, I hide in the corner. That sort of thing. Okay, so my fifth pick is a woman, believe it or not. And I'm curious if this will cause any controversy in the room. She was a cast member from 95 to 2000. I pick Sherry O'Terry as, my opinion, looking back, as one of the best women to ever be on the show.
The great Luke Ski would disagree with you.
Well, Luke Ski doesn't know what he's talking
about.
He
was wrong.
Sherry O'Terry was great for one reason. I think this ties into what Adam was talking about, not thinking women are funny. And I think what happens on Saturday Night Live a lot is that the men tend to be so forceful and in your face that it overshadows maybe some of the more sublime characters that the women bring to the show.
Sure.
And I also think that, you know, a lot of the writers on the show are men, so they tend to write for men. Sherry O'Terry was a little bit different in the sense that she would go out and she was balls to the wall. Every character she did was like, you know, someone on meth. 100%, 150%. She was very manic, and I was always so impressed with her energy. And she could, you know, do bits with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, and keep up with him.
And be just as funny as him, and, you know, sometimes even overshadowing him. Her characters that she did, for everyone that wants to know, she did Ariana, the cheerleader. We talked about them. Prescription pill addicted Colette Reardon, which I thought she was funny with the makeup smeared all over her face. Nadine, a testy employee who constantly orders everyone to simmer down now, which I didn't really find that funny, but it was notable.
It was only good when it was a picture of David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
So it was... Anyway, it was
Schwimmer down.
Schwimmer down.
her impressions included Barbara Walters, which was pretty. That View segment oftentimes was brilliant. She did Mariah Carey, which was okay, and one of my favorites of all time. Her Judge Judy was hilarious. She jumped on the Judge Judy bandwagon just as Judge Judy was starting to become popular, so it really worked.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Timing is everything.
95 to 2000.
Two of the other ones that I really like are the. The lady that goes on Weekend Update that owns like a sex shop, and she always like flirts with Colin Quinn. That's when she's like, "Hey, Colin!" And she would. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
and she'd get up on the desk and purr like a kitten and stuff.
Yeah, writhe around.
Right. And I guess I only like it when she's horny, because she also played a character I can't remember her name at all now. It's like a, it's a typically a black lady name, but it's when John Goodman was the host, and she was an employee, and she kept flirting with everyone,
mm-hmm.
and she would be like, "Can I have a bite of your wiener? I mean your penis."
Yeah. You know, okay. She'd... yes. Very nice, Adam. I like it.
Thanks.
So now it's time for my wild card, and this guy was only on for one season. He was
Whitney Brown.
Whitney Brown was on for a lot longer than that. But he was and is kind of a superstar right now. I picked Billy Crystal from the 84 to 85 season.
Wow.
It was the first year that I watched Saturday Night Live regularly. So maybe that had something to do with it. I think I was in sixth grade at the time. But I thought that that season was, I still do actually, I think it's one of the funniest seasons of all time. It was a star-packed show. They had Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, Martin Short, Elaine from Seinfeld.
Was that the year Christopher Guest did Update?
I think he did do Update that year, I mean, it was, I think Lorne Michaels, it was some other guy that was producing the show, so he really wanted to make sure that the show really popped that year. So he pretty much got everybody in for 1 year. I don't think that everyone wanted to only be on there for 1 year, but it kind of worked out that way. But Billy Crystal was the anchor of that season, and I think they only had a shortened season because there was a strike. But, he did The You Look Marvelous, Fernando's Hideaway. He did Muhammad Ali, Sammy Davis Jr., and the Willie and Frankie guys, the guys that lied all the time.
Right, yeah.
And then the other cool thing about that season was because it was the year that Spinal Tap came out, or maybe it was the year before that, but they had half of the Spinal Tap guys popping up in there. So they would do the kind of the mockumentaries, the fake documentary type stuff. And, it just was good stuff all the way around. I really liked Billy Crystal at that point, and his career sort of skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Kind of segued into the When Harry Met Sally stuff, and then he started acting weird, and he's just kind of got old and not as relevant as
I'd like
he used
to point
to
out at the beginning. You said he's a superstar now.
Well, yeah, whatever.
He was a superstar for a while.
He was a superstar. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows who Billy Crystal is.
Who can forget City Slickers 2? Legend of Curly's Gold.
Hey, for a while, Billy Crystal hit on all cylinders all the time. So
my friend Andre. Who was the one with the giant guy that played for the Washington Wizards?
Oh, yeah. Was it the basketball?
No, because there was one, Paris or something, where he played a referee.
Okay, maybe
he did a lot of bad movies.
He did. But he got paid, bro.
George Murison. Yeah. It was with George Murison, but I can't remember now.
Yeah, I don't think that Billy Crystal would go down on anybody's list of, top
I don't think he'd go down on anybody either.
SNL.
That's what you have.
Very nice. Thanks. Of best cast members of all time, but I think that that year, when it comes out on DVD, if you watch it, you'd be very impressed.
I remember a lot of it. Can't believe it was only one season.
He had a Fernando's Hideaway where Mr. T was on there. I think Hulk Hogan might have been too, and he just broke them up. I mean, they were on there being these tough guys, and Billy Crystal was talking about their Ripley missiles. Muscles and missiles, and these guys
absolutely not gay.
They're meat missiles.
These guys really could not hold it.
They're magic missiles.
Yep, they're magic missiles. So there you are, guys. That's our list. I think everybody did a great job. Jared put in the least amount of work, but he really pulled it through at the end just by picking half the guys that I did.
I didn't know you were picking them.
Adam, thank you for being somewhat subversive and doing a good job anyway.
Gotta pick shape.
So if there's anybody out there who wants to send in their top five plus one cast members of SNL, we would read them on the air, but we know how our listener emails go. So
Great Lipsky sent his top 15.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Comment.
Okay, well, would you like me to read them?
Sure, why not? Great Luke Ski, go ahead. he's not here?
Listed chronologically.
I'd like to point out that they should comment instead of emailing so people can debate about them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
On the comments.
Yes. You heard Adam.
So the top 15 cast members, as sent in by the Great Luke Ski, in chronological order, we have Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, Billy Crystal, Martin Short.
How
interesting
old
choice.
Is the Great Luke Ski?
He's in mid-30s, chaining me.
One of the reasons why I wouldn't pick Martin Short, by the way, is because a lot of his characters came from SCTV.
Right.
So
yeah.
He was hilarious on it, but it was a lot more of the same.
Continuing the list, John Lovitz. Can't argue with that. Dana Carvey, of course, picked by two of us. Phil Hartman, Mike Myers, Chris Rock.
I don't buy that.
I don't think Chris Rock was that funny on the show.
Nat X was his main guy.
Chris Farley, of course. Adam Sandler. Any debate there?
He just gets annoying. I mean, I liked him as a 13-year-old, but now it's...
Your buddy David Spade there, Adam, he's on the list. Will Ferrell, post-2000, mainly due to his George W. Bush impression. Daryl Hammond, and finally, Andy Samberg.
I like pre-2000 Will Ferrell sucked.
What? I don't know.
Andy Samberg, I think the verdict's still out on that guy. I think he is...
I think if you watch any of the Lonely Island stuff, that he's funny and...
Oh, I think he's hilarious. I just think on the show, know, he is very...
Outside of his digital shorts and maybe the jogging guy, or, yeah, he's not that funny.
He's almost not in anything other than the digital shorts, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
Does he do more writing? I don't really know.
All three of them do a decent amount, but I think they mostly just write the digital shorts.
Yeah. Well, they do. He does a good job, but, history will tell that tale. Well, thank you, Lukeski.
Yeah.
We agreed with almost all of our cast members were mentioned on that list, so Luke's doing something right.
Apparently.
Are you going to name his other... He had like a bunch of like random other stuff.
We can go through it if you want.
Argue about some of them.
Okay,
2 minutes, you
we'll
go.
Best host, Steve Martin.
Or as Earl would say, one of the best cast members of all time.
Agree or disagree?
Best host of all time?
Yes.
I mean, if you see the last one he was on last year, I think, that has to probably take it down a lot.
Yeah.
It was such a bad episode.
Yeah. We'll just do agree or disagree. What do you think? Disagree?
Best
disagree.
Host of all time? Disagree.
I disagree as well.
Christopher Walken.
I would say Alec Baldwin.
Christopher Walken.
Say.
Best Weekend Update anchor, Dennis Miller. Agree or disagree? Shane?
Agree.
Adam?
I'd say it's Norm MacDonald, but I definitely like a lot of what Miller does.
I will agree, Dennis Miller. Much funnier than given credit for, Joe Piscopo. Adam?
Disagree.
Dude, that was a lock. Shane?
I disagree, but in the sense that I don't think anybody ever who watched the show thought he was unfunny on the show.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you were saying today, funnier than given credit for, then I would say probably false at this point.
I'll disagree as well, because I think in the context of when it was, he was funny, but now...
Yeah, he was an A-list cast member.
When I was four, I totally hated him.
Nice. Worst cast member ever, Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I'll
disagree.
Wrong.
As well.
I mean, Keenan is on the show
Meadows?
Now.
Come on.
So, I mean, how easy is it?
Yeah, Keenan is.
Wow,
you
know, what a racist.
I think the season that preceded the Billy Crystal year that had Anthony Michael Hall and Joan.
Rivers.
No.
Baez.
Joan Cusack was on there. And then there was a couple other people on there that were not good. And there have been, even in some like the Adam Sandler years as well, there's been people that have popped up that have been much worse than Sherry O'Terry. That's not even an argument.
Yeah.
I mean, she's one of the funniest, and Lukeski, you're nuts.
Oh.
Go wear an orange shirt. Thank you.
Worst years of SNL, 1995 to 2000, the Sherry O'Terry era.
Boy, what did Sherry O'Terry do to Lukeski? That's
obviously
what I
wanna punched him and took his lunch money.
My feeling is that Luke probably sent a lot of stalker type emails, and he's feeling very scorned. What say you, Lukeski?
I say 80 to 85.
Yeah, that's not a bad...
You're saying the Billy Crystal season was one of the worst ever?
I say, I'll revise, 75 to 85.
I'd almost say the current season, except for there's a few highlights, but the current run isn't that great.
You know, really, if you look back at it, you know how few good bits are on a weekly? And it's not just now. Like, people are like, man, it really used to be good. SNL was never, I don't think, good, like for a full 90-minute show.
No, it never is. I mean, I remember very, very clearly in the years of Adam Sandler, David Spade, people saying that was one of the worst seasons.
Right.
One of the worst times ever. It happens every year. The one of the real only... consistent across the board selections for worst season was the 83 to 84 season, which was pretty much the filler season that I just mentioned. There was nobody on there. The show did not click, and they fired almost everybody on there except John Lovitz and Nora Dunn. So,
damn.
Thank you.
And one final thing. Best simultaneous female cast ensemble, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Anna Gasteyer, Maya Rudolph, and Rachel Dratch, 2001 to 2002. I guess by pure numbers alone, you can't really argue it, can you?
Earlier, they had Sherry O'Terry and Anna Gasteyer and, what's her freaking name?
Molly Shannon.
I would argue that those girls were probably better. Mm-hmm. I always thought Rachel Dratch was overrated, if you want.
Yeah, me too.
Slightly scary looking and sort of played the same thing over and over again.
So that's two disagrees?
I would disagree with that.
Okay. She played a good Harry Potter
too. Wasn't Tina Fey in that cast as well?
Possibly.
So... Lukeski's Cherry O'Terry bias. Getting props.
Yep, and I was a big fan of the late 80s, you know, as I said before, Nora Dunn and Jan Hooks. So just two, but I think they
Nora
did
Dunn,
stuff.
Sweeney Sisters.
Exactly.
So there we go. Nice.
That is the list.
So if you want to get your stuff right on the air, do what Lukeski did.
Yes. So comments at thescopeshow.com or comment on the blog.
Comment on the blog, preferred by Adam. He can trace your email that way. So let's close this up and let's move on to other things, guys. Thanks for listening to the show.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Well, that was it. It's time to get started, doesn't it?
Yeah!
And the Pod Save Music Network at music.podshow.com. This is the future head, the beginning of the twist. I'm just going to keep talking because this has a long, long intro. Keep it up here on The Scope. Bye.
Let's get it started. I feel like there's so much to rearrange. Come on, I need your help with this. Why don't we get it started with a kiss? If memory serves, then why am I still waiting for it to return? My head feels like it's just about to slip. This morning is just a blur. Today lingers on like a bad year. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. Beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist. We get along well, we talk a lot. I made some promises, I guess that I've totally forgot. Forgive me, my mind is there, I swear. Feels like somebody's throwing it down the stairs. It's not good enough.
You tried
to send excuses before. I thought you knew enough about it, but you still want more. Today I don't feel so ill. If only I could find the time I want to kill. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. Beginning on the twist. I can feel it, I can feel it. I can feel it coming, I'm beginning on the twist.
In a box.
Under the scope.
And we're not letting poor Tony out. This is Under the Scope. We look at three things, Adam. What's and that? You like one of them the best. First is the news. We had a long middle segment, so let's make this brief. But all right. Everything Jared and I will say will be the funniest thing you've ever heard.
Okay. Clearly.
Starting with Jared.
Do we always do the news first?
Always. Since the very
after
beginning.
47 shows.
I don't know. So it's a, there's a lot of political news this week.
Oh, really?
So, Hillary. Should this is how it's going to be probably till December, so you guys should just
maybe my Obama clip.
Obama!
Obama! Obama's a long-legged pimp daddy.
I really like how I really like what Tracy Morgan's going to say to him during his inauguration.
Sup, nigga.
That was a clip that he just played. Yeah. Not me saying that.
That's crazy.
Obama pimps white women and black women.
So yeah,
Hillary, I gotta get those clips.
Hillary told a huge lie this week.
Naughty, naughty lady.
The whole story itself is completely ridiculous. That you know what she did, but yeah, exactly.
Lie alert!
This is the Drudge Report, and the sirens. That's the sirens right
there. One of the best design websites.
But my favorite thing about this whole story was this quote that she had, sounding incredibly pretentious and indignant. So, okay, if you don't know the story, she said that.
Wait, she was sounding what?
Huh?
She was sounding what?
Pretentious and indignant.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you think he said?
Something else.
Oh. Okay. That is not the comedy.
So the whole story is that she, even though in her book and other things, she's claimed that during a 1996 trip to Bosnia.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, Bosnia.
Tuzla, supporting the troops.
Right. Supporting the troops, all that stuff with such people as Sheryl Crow and Sinbad.
Should have left him there.
That there was like, it was dangerous in the area, but not at the base. And there was maybe firefights a few miles away, but... They landed and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's probably seen the videos by now of her talking to the little girl and all that stuff. But for whatever reason, three times, since this whole campaign started, she's lied and said how there was sniper fire and they had to run and all this big stuff.
Can you just imagine Hillary hunched over running through the bombed out streets of Bosnia?
Well, can you imagine them sending the first lady to something like this?
Yeah, give me a break.
Right. So, it was discovered that it was a lie. And so at first she was like, I misspoke.
Do you have some mortar shells sounds, Jared, you can throw in while he's reading this?
Sure.
How about the MASH theme song?
Stretch it out, Adam. Look out, First Lady!
But her quote is, so I made a mistake. That happens. It proves I'm human, which, for some people, it's a revelation.
Uh-oh.
So, right. So she kind of accepts blame, doesn't apologize, and then turns it back on people that think that she's a robot.
Oh, bombers camp.
Well, I mean, I think just people in general.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
How do you think this election's going to go, Adam? I mean, really, do you have any idea how it's going to play out at the end of the day?
Yes. I've talked to my people that control the government and banks.
All the gold doubloons.
Right. We hide it in our teeth. And Obama will get the nomination. All they have to do is play the clip of McCain and W hugging, and people won't want to vote for him. They'll play the clip of him saying we're going to be in Iraq and Iran for the next 100 years. They'll play the clip of him singing bomb, 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 Iran, and people will be like, what the fuck? And they'll vote for Obama.
Do you think the Democrats are hurting their position in their case right now by all of this?
Yes.
Do you think that the smart thing to do is just to let somebody win, or do you think that that's crazy talk?
I think at this point, when it's mathematically impossible for her to come back, that yes. But I will say that all this coming out now, like the Reverend Wright stuff, it's really hypocritical to me because Jerry Falwell said the exact same shit about 9/11, how it's our fault, and... You didn't see, then you still saw George W. Bush going to whatever Liberty University, you still saw John McCain go, and it's like...
Is it because it's a black man, pretty much?
Of course it's because it's a black guy.
Of course.
Well, I mean, if you had the same thing... Okay, so Obama won 11 contests in a row, was up by a huge amount. If it were reversed, if Hillary had won all those in a row and was up by that much, the outpouring of people saying that he should drop out would have been astronomical.
Sure.
So, of course, I think. And, you can call it white guilt, but I don't think so. I think it's bullshit and it's annoying. But, like I was saying, it coming out now means that it can't be whatever it's called, a November surprise.
Sure.
Where, like the day before the election, this huge story breaks. So, and they're shown in the polls. It didn't really even make that big.
How are the
anyway.
Republicans going to attack Obama?
They're
going to
call
wins.
Him. They're going to
un-American.
They'll call him a nigger. They'll call him a Muslim. And people that weren't going to vote for him anyway aren't going to. And people that were going to in the first place still will.
Isn't that Muslim business just the nuttiest thing you've ever heard in your life?
First of all, he's not a Muslim, and even if he was, who cares?
Right. That's a big thing to me. But if you remember when Larry Ellison, so Minneapolis has the first U.S. congressman that's a Muslim. And there is this huge, huge deal made of it. Like, people were freaking out, and he's sending money to Iran, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
what do you, Glenn Beck, retarded anchor on CNN, or not anchor, I shouldn't say, you know, one of the...
A commentarist.
Right, commentary guy, commentarist. You know, he had an interview with him, and he was like, I mean, I don't know if you're a Muslim. I mean, you're, I don't know what it means. I mean, I don't know if it means I should trust you. And it's like, what?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
So,
it's
yeah.
the Jews you have to look out for, right, Adam?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So, and I'm sorry for dropping the N-bomb so much.
Yeah, it's twice.
This episode, but I... In my honestly, that's exactly what they're gonna do. They're gonna have all these
quasi underhanded,
right?
You know,
and
wink, wink,
to
nod,
try to
nod.
Scare people. A black man's gonna be in the White House.
Zoinks, Scooby.
Yeah, it's just annoying, and it really makes me. It's more annoying to me now than it was in 2000 with all the, or in 2004 with the Kerry Swift voting.
Yeah. Jared, will you ever change your stance that you'll never vote for a minority for president?
No. I fully intend to vote for Barack Obama, so there.
Obama!
He only said that because
Obama!
He won't vote for a man anymore. Cause since there's more women, okay. Men are the minority.
Since women are the focus of Jared's life, no.
But so this, okay, so the next quick mini story goes back to what,
he's gonna hate me.
What Jared was just saying. Yeah. There was an AP poll this week.
That, Associated Press, for the people that don't know.
That took a look at, you know, who's leaning which ways, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, 25% of anti-Obama Democrats. I don't know if that means... anti-Obama or pro-Hillary, but I'm pretty sure it means just
they will anti- not vote for Barack Obama.
Right. 25% of anti-Obama Dems think he's a Muslim. And this is kind of amazing to me that even after the Jeremiah Wright thing, where it's pretty obvious that he's not a Muslim anymore because the guy's church, you know, Christian mm-hmm. church.
Yeah, they still don't get it.
Still don't get that he's not a Muslim. And again, like Jared said, who cares? But the xenophobic nature of this stupid country is, you know, always going to be like
that. I think a lot of people are just really frightened that there's going to be a huge monumental change in the status quo as far as presidents go. You know, it's mm-hmm. if Obama wins, a black man, you know, and that's just...
Everything's
so they're just trying
change.
To heap everything else on top of
well,
it, too.
What do people think?
I think it's great. We need that change.
What's going to happen if Obama pops in? Are Popeye chickens going to be in every state at that point? I mean, is watermelon become... I mean, it's just ridiculous, these racist things. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Things are
not going to change in terms of how we view our politicians, you know, I mean, unless it's positive.
Right.
You know, we're not going to become some... change country that everything, all of the privileged white people are going to lose all of their status and all that stuff.
Well,
it's utterly ridiculous.
All the privileged white people want to vote for Obama. It's the uneducated retarded masses that don't.
It's ignorant.
But
well, honestly, we could use some youth in the office.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's got a really good jump shot. So he does have a good jump shot. They're showing it on CNN.
What's going on in the life of the most elusive Scope host?
Barack Obama.
Let's take a moment and catch up with Adam.
It sounds too much like ketchup, by the way. Like the condiment. Ketchup.
Let's put ketchup on Adam.
That's Dejeuners with Adam.
Anyway, I'm going to be angry about this for a while, okay. So just so you guys know.
Keep going.
Next up, last political story. McCain doesn't apparently know how you prevent...
forest fires.
Wow, you guys. Why don't you just bang already?
Done and done.
He doesn't know how you help prevent the spread of HIV when asked. The question is, mm-hmm. So no contraception, no counsel. Basically, he was like, I support the Bush mandate on sex education, which is don't have any sex education and abstinence.
All right,
answer.
Don't talk about it. And it will go away.
he's so old, it's like, Monty Burns. Well, you fill up your car with petroleum distillate and you go down and you get the sheepskin, yes. Wrap it around your,
yes.
Male genitalia.
And revulcanize my tires post-haste.
So the question to him was, so no contraception, no counseling, no contraception, just abstinence. Do you think contraceptives help stop the spread of HIV? And after a long pause, John McCain says, you stumped me.
What?
Yes.
Adam, one more quick question. We know you're voting Democratic this year.
Yeah.
Is John McCain the least offensive Republican candidate for president?
Offensive in what way?
In terms of if you had to pick one person, a Republican.
I mean, he's the only one left. Like, yeah, compared to like the whole field?
Just the whole field. Would you
throw in your Huckabees, your Mitt Romneys.
Is he the guy you, if you had to
there.
Vote for one? Or if you
Sure. I mean, he has an actual immigrant policy that makes sense instead of just build a wall and kick them all out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that alone separates him, you know, from the rest of them.
How would Denny's stay in operation? That's the question right. I want to know.
Well, how would the country would yep. stay in operation without them? So
you're saying fans of architecture probably won't vote for him? Is that like big walls?
Right.
Probably.
Probably not.
Thank you for giving yourself crickets.
Thanks for explaining the joke.
Well, nobody was getting it.
I know. I mean, okay, there's fair no enough. One. I mean, so you got pro-business Mitt Romney, which would be terrible. He's, you know, he'll... Okay, one of my big things about Obama is his views on business and regulation, you know, government regulation, which mm-hmm. a lot of people are against. That's fine, whatever. But if you just look at his views on net neutrality alone, like, you get that he understands. He understands, you know, communication, and when three companies own everything, it's not good. You know, it's not good in any way. And I don't think that a pro-business president would be, you know, again, another one would be a good thing. And when you run on that platform, I think you're going to easily turn a lot of people off, especially when those companies are the same ones sending thousands of jobs a year to other countries and all that stuff. So,
way to go.
And he's a Mormon.
Wow.
This guy knows something.
And Huckabee, as likable as he is, and he's incredibly likable and disarming, he's batshit crazy.
Yeah. That is true.
He's very well spoken.
Yeah. And you can tell he'd be, you know, a nice guy to know, but
until you started talking about anything of importance,
right,
then you'd be freaked out.
Suddenly evolution is not being taught in schools and
yeah.
Partial credit or full credit for 5,000 years old or whatever.
Right. As we learned last week. Okay. Moving on.
Do we have anything fun in there, or is it all
you tell me.
Making us lose half of our listeners?
These are the times, Shane.
I'll read the headline, and you guys tell me to pass or keep it.
Yeah,
pass or fail. All right.
Police. Girl dies after parents pray for healing instead of seeking medical help for a treatable form of diabetes.
Well, I don't know. What's funny about that?
I don't know.
It's not fun.
Because people like to pray instead of go to the doctor.
Next.
I'll skip it.
Damn medical science.
XM Sirius merger approved by the Department of Justice.
Speaking of being pro-big business, do you think this is a colossal mistake, Adam, these two satellite companies coming together, or is this the exception to the rule?
I don't see how... I don't think that this has any sort of monopolistic anything to it.
Do you agree with that or disagree?
I think that and this has been mentioned many times in the past, is that they have to merge in order to succeed. Neither one is...
If they don't merge, one of the companies will go out of business and there'll only be one anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So why not just let them merge and then keep their subscriber base?
Do you think prices will go up?
No.
I think
they will.
I think eventually they'll go up.
Well, everything goes up eventually, but I don't think you're going to see an immediate increase as a result of this merger.
I don't see them going up more.
People will just quit.
Right. Well, and it's not like people don't have a choice. This is, you know, this is like cable versus dish.
Exactly.
Because there's two satellite providers that, you know, like that's a huge difference between just one. If there's only one satellite provider and it was too expensive, people would be like, all right, I'm going back to cable. Which is the same thing people will do.
There should be more than one cable provider.
For me, it'll
though.
Just mean there'll be one company that I'm not buying service from instead of two.
Right.
Yes. There we go. Next story.
All right. Quick video game one. The Grand Theft Auto 4 street map was leaked. I don't know if
you guys
saw
this. Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. I saw the trailer, but I did not see the street map.
Okay. There's a huge map, mm-hmm. like someone in some video game company. I think it's
got
like
it.
a pullout front in the box,
sure.
You know?
Wow.
Someone got
they have,
it.
I've seen
they,
that, yeah.
Okay, and they they put it online, and it's really detailed and intricate and everything. And I have the link. I'll put the link on the article.
God,
but,
I don't know if I want to look at it or not. I'm so excited about that game.
Decide.
I'm not sure if I want to spoil it. Less surface area, though, than San Andreas, though.
All right.
By quite a bit. They focused on making it more detailed and realistic without, you know, covering three states.
Was San Andreas too big, would you say?
I thought it was kind of interesting, actually. It was unique and different, so...
Because you played a black guy.
Exactly, of course, you know.
Next up, quickly, Ian McKellen says he'll return as Gandalf in The Hobbit.
Well, that's good.
I guess there'd been concern he wasn't. I was always under the impression that he would. I'm going to save the best story for last. I don't know if you guys got the pop-up that's been driving the whole internet crazy, but apparently Safari 3.1 is available for Windows.
Oh, really?
Last week. And everyone's all really upset because if you have iTunes installed, you got a pop-up in the middle of your screen saying, hey, install. It said software update.
Is just on the PC side or is that on the Mac side too?
No, it's on the Mac too.
I've never seen that thing.
Really? Maybe you can, I don't know. Maybe you can turn it off. But it happened on...
Have you seen that pop-up, Jaron?
No. I downloaded it, though, yesterday myself. But I never saw a pop-up.
On your Windows PCs?
Yeah.
Do you have iTunes installed?
Yeah.
How, you know, like when there's a new iTunes update, doesn't the software update thing pop up?
And sure, say, but mm-hmm. I never noticed one for Safari.
Oh, it's weird. Okay. Well, it happened on both my computers, and so it happened on three that I know of. Anyway, people are all up in arms about this because if you have iTunes installed, it's not really an update for, you know, it's right. Safari.
They're trying to sneak it in there?
Yeah, sort of. That's what a lot of people are complaining about.
What's Apple's official company line on that, Adam?
That tough shit, and you can install it or you can't. You don't have to.
Okay.
You know, you can click the button that says don't
install.
Nerds,
calm down, is what they're saying.
But ARS Technica reviewed it, and they said it's actually a really good browser now. The 3.0 beta came out like a year ago.
It was pretty buggy.
And yeah, they say it's pretty, you know, comparable. It's faster in a couple areas than Firefox and IE. It's, you know, slower in a couple areas, but it's a decent browser.
I also read that they're working on their nightly WebKit, which is what is behind the scenes of the browser. They've actually got it working with the standard Windows font rendering, so that
right.
you can turn that on.
That's, that's one thing a lot of people complain about, is it uses the Apple font rendering, which is quote unquote smoother, but some people will say harder to read, and in this article that's linked.
And you know, I'm an Apple fanboy, so I like that kind of stuff, but it looks very different than everything else that's a normal Windows app, so I like consistency.
Alias if it's on Windows, Alias pretty much shared, is that what we're talking?
Yeah, it's just the way it's done. It's it doesn't mesh.
It's like rounder. It's hard to explain because it's the same font as a lot of things, but everything looks different. But there's a link to an image that compares it, like so yeah, people can look if they want. I don't know if either of you are fans of Children of Men, the movie that came out.
Oh yes, this is a huge debate coming up.
I think all three of us loved it.
Yeah, one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
Yes, so. I definitely thought it was the best movie of that year, and it got one nomination, I think, for screenplay maybe, and didn't win anything.
Best animated short it got nominated for.
It's very odd, but hey.
It came out on Christmas Day in America, which is kind of funny.
Very happy.
I remember that. Anyway, they're going to do, well, David Icke, who is the writer-producer of Battlestar and Bionic Woman.
He ruined Bionic Woman.
Right. Is trying to...
Did you hear he got lucky with Battlestar Galactica?
I guess so.
Right. Got lucky.
He is...
Sorry, Earl, but...
he's writing a pilot for a Children of Men TV series.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works.
Based on the book, not on the movie.
Right. And like the deep issues of the book, too, which, you know, I think it'd be interesting.
Sure. Jared and I had an IM conversation about this week, actually, and I think we both agreed that if done correctly, it could be a pretty good show.
Sure, but that means...
It doesn't have to be based on the movie. It doesn't have to do anything with the movie, really.
Right.
Well, yeah, and it'd be fascinating to find out. I'm always curious how things got the way they are.
It might even be a better television show if you can show the history of how things play out.
I mean, it almost seems like it would have to be an HBO or Showtime show to kind of get...
Yeah.
Not like violence or anything, just like... It's
get the realism,
like,
and maybe the budget. Who knows?
Yeah. So who knows if they can even do that, but we'll see. And lastly, story of the year. Did you guys know?
Of the year?
Of the
Holy
year.
Cow.
I'm calling it, and it's only March.
And we've got 30 seconds to talk about it, get to it.
Chinese democracy is coming out this year.
Yes.
So they're saying.
Well, that's what Dr. Pepper is saying, or hoping for anyway, because
Dr. Pepper.
If Guns N' Roses releases Chinese democracy in 2008, every person in America gets a free Dr. Pepper.
Really?
So it makes no difference to me because I hate Dr. Pepper.
You don't even like cherry? Black cherry vanilla?
Black cherry vanilla? Yeah, whatever it's called.
No, it's just, it's too pruny.
Tired of a world in which Americans idolize wannabe singers and musicals about high schoolers, where musicals about high schoolers pass as rock and roll music, Dr. Pepper is encouraging Axl Rose to finally release his 17-year-in-the-making belabored masterpiece, Chinese Democracy, in 2008.
No doubt that it will
suck. That could be the oddest backing I've ever heard. Dr. Pepper is calling out Guns N' Roses right now. If there's anybody that's gonna cause change, it's Dr. Pepper. Followed closely by Shasta and 7-Up. Thank you. The joke would be like, and in related news, Shasta is going after Wilson Phillips, too. That was pretty good, huh?
I just like it because this is an ongoing joke in my household where we always talk about Chinese democracy. It's coming out every year.
Yeah.
Every year. It's coming out this year. And, I mean, it's probably never going to come out. But Axl Rose, you know, in replying to this, he was like, well, I hope America's ready for a bunch of Dr. Pepper.
Wow, so Axl Rose is in talks.
He says it's going to come out every year, though, so...
Jared, knowing Adam's love of Wilson Phillips, do you think that he might try to get Shasta to... See if they could get those girls to reunite so they could have one more album.
I think he'll devote all his energy to it, honestly.
I've never had Shasta, so I don't see that happening.
If he didn't have,
it's not about Shasta. It's about Wilson Phillips.
What about Diet?
Album.
Diet Right.
Diet Right. That was my mom's drink of choice growing up, and I never really understood that. Disgusting. It was generic.
Is Hold On your favorite Wilson Phillips song of all time?
It's probably the only Wilson Phillips song that that I know.
What about their Christmas classic, Dear Santa?
No, I don't know. But I do honestly like Hold On. It was very, I was not, you know, I was sad.
And that's the news, Jared.
It is. Can I do something?
I was hoping you could just cut him off right there. We're going to have to work on that, but that was just me being a little ad-libby.
I guess so.
I guess you need to have your own board.
I think I do. Jared, give me a button panel over here. Adam.
Yes. I'll work on that.
What's coming up next, Jared? Nice to talk to everybody. We got reviews.
I already hit the sound.
Oh, he did hit again. Jared, do we do reviews second in the show?
I think we're going to try something new and do it second this time.
Adam, what are we reviewing this?
I'm out of here. All right. We are
finally
reviewing...
Comedy comes in the hour and a half mark of the show.
Oh, God. We're reviewing The Good Time. These Are the Good Times, people, which is the sixth album by the Presidents of the United States of America, or as they're known by their acronym. Anyone?
POSA. Or something like that.
It's
POSA.
It's POT USA.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Presidents of the POT USA, United States of America.
Wow.
I don't know if they're...
That's very compelling.
With stuff like that, I can't see why they're the most popular band on the earth.
critical response to these Are the Good Times, people, has been mixed. MusicOMH.com remarked, and yes, I really just had to cut and paste this.
Adam did no work.
Oh, good. So finally someone else is getting ripped on.
My review...
Because of the ladies?
My review consists
of... Ladies? Are you married to your job?
Consists of other sites' reviews.
Okay.
OMH.com remarked, there's nothing complicated on this album, but then when did things ever need to be complicated? AMG said that in view of the lineup changes, the album is perhaps their most eclectic album to date.
Jared's so excited, he's yawning in agreement.
Billboard found that while the album is not immediately memorable as Lump, as none of the songs are as memorable as Lump or Peaches or Little Dune Buggy, my personal favorite, several tracks come across as less novelty-like as a result of the songcraft. Speaking of Lump and Peaches, here's one of the more classic Presidents-sounding songs.
The
Ladybug.
Classic sound.
Son, for we were living in the flower, cold tuxedo in the shower, gonna cross the room in about an hour. McAdoo would dance in the meat when the meat goes sour. McAdoo would dance in the meat when the meat goes sour. Come on, come on.
The album received a Metacritic rating of 59. It's out of 100. Uncut Magazine felt the record was the 100. The desperate.
They're changing their rating system to 73 next week.
It could have been out of 60, and then 59 out of 60 is really good. The album was in the desperate death throw of a rank 90s relic. So with that in mind, take a listen to
ouch.
Take a listen to "The Flame Is Love," a pseudo ska song that feels about 10 years too late.
I'd have to eat an aspirin pie to cure the pain that's in my eyes. I've seen the flame lick and run, lick and run. You know the flame is love, and people burn and leave their shoes. People usually burn in twos. Love's a fire that's quiet and slow. The flame is love, I'm a fire hose, and I get some water from the sink. Quickly now, take a drink. Put out the fire from inside. My fork spreads and burns like life.
I guess not Scott's, more Brian Setzeri Big Band.
More swingy.
Yeah.
Squirrel Nut Zipper.
And by the way, if you were listening to that and thought you heard him saying dance. Lump over and over again, it was love that he kept saying.
But he wanted you to think Lump and then buy it.
All right. Well, since we already mentioned that Jared is a big old Presidents fan, I don't know. Jared, what did you think?
Other than the first lead-off single, Mixed Up Son of a Bitch, which is interesting that he's actually singing about a woman, the album didn't really grab me at first. It starts out real strong, and then it kind of, it was kind of a grab bag of different styles and different subject matter. But on the second listen, I started to like it a bit more, and in my third listen, it really started to gel for me. So I know I clearly like this album more than the two of you, but... to me, the songs really flowed well into each other, and I really like the kind of the use of horns here and there. It's kind of a new thing for them. They've been pretty standard rock and roll previous to this. I don't know about their album prior to this. I didn't listen to that one, but I don't know. I really like it. Kind of was. I've been going through this 90s music kind of revival personally. So it came out at the perfect time, and it kind of fit in there.
Makes you feel young again.
I guess so. I don't know. But yeah, a couple other songs I liked on the album were called "More Bad Times," where he sings about all these terrible things that he his subject of the song has to go through, and how he loves actually being able to participate in these terrible things. And then the last song on the album, which is called "Deleter," which has a really good kind of soul funk vibe to it with horns and female vocals, and I don't know, it was just a good way to close out the album. That's my take. I liked it.
Adam, what's your take?
The first listen through, I was like, okay, this is boring and inoffensive. and that remained my view the entire time. I would kind of keep it on in the background when I was doing other stuff and felt the same way. I would try to listen to it. I don't know. You know, it's not a bad album by any means. I just didn't find it to be anything worth ever listening to ever again.
Not compelling.
No.
You know?
And I'm actually going through a weird 90s revival myself.
Oh, my
right
goodness.
Now.
Why should you just have sex already?
Wow. There's a lot of hooking up on this show.
Jared's banging a lot of the scope posts.
Well,
yikes.
My friend Nick had somehow never heard of The Rentals before, which is...
Oh, my.
If well, anyone's not...
Maybe Jared,
I guess that's not that surprising.
You should right. have sex with him, too.
Only two albums.
I love The Rentals.
I know you do.
Well, it's fantastic.
We have sex with them?
That don't know. It's,
I might. Honestly.
Former Weezer member Matt Smarts.
That'd be Matt Sharp.
Matt Sharp.
Oh, snap. Oh, no, you didn't.
It was his spinoff band. So, and I mean, they're very Weezer-esque, but they're like, I don't know, better.
Different, more keyboards.
Yeah, yeah, definitely more like cheap MIDI synthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
Friends Presidents of the United States of America, bring it back.
So what that has to do with that is that now, so I've been kind of appreciating stuff and remembering, and I mentioned Little Dune Buggy in the read, because
I love it.
I hated... Presidents of the United States when I was whatever 16, 17,
four when whenever, you were in the 90s,
whenever that was in the mid 90s, and because you know, like in my mind, if you were going to be a joke band, you should be like Weird Al and take it the whole way. And I
or
I
like
guess,
possible Oscar. I mean, there's no going back with these guys.
So
that's all I'm going to give you.
So
I was open from a laugh, but yeah, I got nothing.
There you have it. My one funny Presidents of the United States of America story is that I guess two. I saw them in concert at radio concert festival back when they were on that tour. You know, like Edge Fest.
Sure,
they were there, and it's the DC version. But the other one is that, you know how like if you read someone's blog and they're like depressed and stuff, mm-hmm. and they'll like just like type lyrics to like a really like a Nine Inch Nails song, or, like a sad song. I once. Put the lyrics to Little Dune Buggy into a post because
you were sad.
No, because it's funny because it's not. It's a complete opposite of a song that you would do that for.
Oh, I see.
It's ironic.
Did you get big laughs on that one?
I think it was too high.
It was
concept.
Big lols.
Too high
lols.
There were like rafflecopters all over the place.
Well, unlike Adam, I kind of liked the Presidents back in the 90s. I mean, I thought they were a nice counterbalance to the pretty serious.
Seven Mary Three.
Alt, grunge.
And they're interesting because they came from Seattle but didn't have that sound at all.
And they were, you know, they did do the strange lyrics that were maybe not quite as heady as the They Might Be Giants, but they were goofy and oftentimes didn't make sense. So I was kind of looking forward to this album, and I came away with it pretty much the same way Adam did. I wasn't offended by it. I didn't hate it, but there was nothing I really got behind. I thought that they played well. It was a decent sound, but nothing made me want to go back and re-listen to it over and over again.
This is the second show in a row, by the way, where I think you've complimented the band, a professional band, for playing musical instruments well.
Well, you know,
but that's not always a given, unfortunately.
I appreciate the fact that they can put together a slick sounding album, even with the goofiness and the edginess that they that they like to have.
Okay.
But you know, you have to do something with that. And who, you know, I brought up they Might Be Giants. They kind of remind me of that. They have this weird, goofy sort of thing, and it reminds me a lot of the music that will play for my daughter when she goes to bed. Some of these, like They Might Be Giants, they do kids' albums. And I'm thinking, Presidents of the United States of America, that could be their job. They could do that same thing. They can hook up with Disney, write these kind of songs that, you know, a few less cuss words, you know, a few more goofy things, and they're big hits in the child set. So they might be giants. Look out. You've got competition, presence in the United States of America. They could do it, man.
Right on.
But, you know, like Adam, I would go back and listen to anything in here and look forward to it. So let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 1¾ star.
Boy, he says it with gusto, doesn't he?
He does. He's not afraid of that score. So not a great score, slightly below average.
I would have graded it higher, but I went with the team.
You didn't win that. Speaking of below average, that's what this TV season has been this year, because there just hasn't been a lot to watch.
No.
But guess what? Shows are coming back.
Yes, they are.
And when shows come back, Adam, so does the random review.
Get ready for the random review of the week. It could be appalling. It could be incredible. But it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
I thought that talk up was solid, and then when Jared came in with the sounds right there, that could be one of our best technical moments of the show.
I like how you have to actually call attention to it and not just
because you never would, Jared. Well, you're off in your own little starry eyed world, and Adam was thinking about packing his bags, flying out in a jet plane to Kentucky. So let's spin the random wheel and see what we get for a show to watch. This is very exciting.
You can hear it spinning, Shane.
I wish we had some fun music behind that, like
do we always do this part now too?
We always do this part too.
It's a callback. Thanks.
What do we got, Jared?
Well, it's a show that both you and I watch, Shane, and we actually have never reviewed it before, and that's Big Brother, CBS Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Haven't we reviewed this before?
We have not reviewed Big Brother. I keep track of my list.
Big
Survivor,
Brother.
American Idol, several other reality shows we have.
I do love the fact that, you know, all the new shows are coming back, and we get the one show that was always here to begin with. So.
Well, I know.
But,
which one do you want to watch, Sunday, Tuesday, or Wednesday?
Let's do the kickoff show on Wednesday.
Which one? The one that's this week's show.
This week's show.
The live eviction.
The live eviction with Chenbot 2000.
The most new.
The most new.
Oh, we could probably lump the whole,
we can do whatever we want, but if you want to take your clips from that, Adam, that would be good.
Well, I would like us to watch the same episodes.
Well, I watch them all, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, we watch Big Brother every week. So.
But there's typically, you know, a three-episode
arc. I might miss Sunday's show because of my trip, as you might as well. But, yeah. So, random review. We've got that. So,
it's coming up.
And we'll have one more review following, connected with that next time, so that'll be exciting.
Woo!
Now, we will find out what's coming soon. Our goal to start crafting shorter shows in preparation for the Scope 3.0 not working.
Not so well.
We're rushing at the end. So, Adam, give us a list.
This, I know we do this part at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm good now.
He knows that for sure.
So, music on April 1st, which, by the way, guys, April Fool's Day. So, when any big...
Is that what April 1st is?
When any big announcements come out, remember that they're probably fake.
Yeah.
Except when it's Gmail, which was announced on April 1st 5 years ago, which was real.
What about Chinese democracy? Is that on April 1st?
Not listed, but it might be announced.
Okay.
Moby has a new album called Last Night, Seven Dust, which is not Seven Mary 3. And R.E.M. has a new album. April 8th, The Breeders. Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
More 90s.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Really?
Yes, Seth Meyers.
I was going to say, are you doing Seth Meyers now?
Really? iCriley, so that's
really?
Cool.
Really?
This is my favorite band name so far, and I'm sure that's why he put it on here. Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin.
Really?
I have no idea what band that is, but I'll download it just because. There's a band called Fuck Yeah, and I downloaded their album just because of it. It's all right. And Tapes and Tapes, sophomore album, I guess.
Al will be happy.
He will be. What else?
Movies. April 4th. Mm. Leatherheads. This is the George Clooney and...
Renee Zellweger. And
what's his name from The Office?
The Office. John something.
John something or other.
Takes place in Minnesota, but not filmed in Minnesota, because we don't give tax breaks.
1920s football players, based, like Shane said,
screw
here in Minnesota. But filmed in North or South Carolina, wherever they filmed, whichever state they filmed Dawson's Creek in.
Which looks... pretty similar to Minnesota in some areas.
Anything can look like Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Aren't we special?
Not really.
Mr.
That's
Geography.
Nims Island. This is the new kid adventure movie with, what's her name? Not Dakota Fanning.
Animals. A lot of animals.
Yeah. And the girl from...
Oh, is that, what's her name? Abigail Breslin?
Yeah, Oscar girl. And The Ruins, which I'm pretty sure was only approved because the... studio thought that the writer's strike would still be going on by now. A group of college kids take a trip to Mexico and experience something far worse than
it's actually right. Adam, it's based on a really popular book, believe it or
is
not.
Is it? Mm-hmm. All right.
I thought the trailer was kind of scary looking, but I don't like that torture porn type stuff, so I have no desire to see it. Thank you.
All right.
Everyone should follow suit.
You're welcome. April 11th, Street Kings with Keanu Reeves playing really an LAPD cop. No way. If anyone hasn't noticed, I think this is the fourth or fifth movie that Keanu Reeves plays either an LAPD cop or a cop in general. And that does not even count Time Cop, even though that wasn't him in it.
okay.
Wow. Smart People. This is the horse face Sarah Jessica Parker's new movie with Dennis Quaid,
so you don't
Ellen Page, and T. Hayden Church, really? Thomas Hayden Church.
What? T.
Did you do that on purpose?
Maybe it was space. I don't
Hayden
know.
Church. It says T. Dot Hayden Church.
Yeah, I did it on purpose, just so you'd stop and belabor it for 4 minutes for the show, because we want to get to the two-hour mark today.
And prom night. A group of high schoolers witness students are stalked on their prom night, blah, blah, blah.
Do you ever go to your prom, Adam?
I did not go to prom.
Jared?
Not mine.
I did. Suck it.
We were at home playing Dungeons & Dragons. So.
Fantastic.
Who won?
Who had the magic missile?
That would be me.
DVD April 1st, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Becker, the first season, and Sweeney Todd.
Oh, God, all winners.
All getting Becker. Sweeney Todd, what do you have a problem with Sweeney Todd? Or, I mean, Jared.
I never saw the film. I'm not a Sweeney Todd guy. I'm not a fan.
That doesn't back the Sweeney Todd movement.
I saw the DVD of the London stage production of it, and maybe I just don't get it. I don't know. Sweeney Todd is not for me. Sorry.
Too highfalutin for you. April 8th, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
That I like.
The Water Horse, The Legend of the Deep.
The Loch Ness Monster movie.
The baby one.
Fun movie. Yep.
Rock of Love season one. Mm-hmm. Matlock season one.
Yes.
Look at him just burn through these.
I mean, do you guys have commentary on those? No.
No. Okay. I mean, they are what they are. They are what we thought they were.
I'm gonna have a suggestion for video games for now on.
They're created by man. We can solve them.
We don't bother doing them unless they're ones. I mean, is anyone excited about these? Myst for the DS.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, there's not much coming out.
Manakamiya. Alchemist of Al Revis.
I put that in because I wanted to see if you could read it. Answer is no.
Supreme Commander and Major League Baseball 2K8 Fantasy All-Stars.
So baseball game's coming out. So, you know, it's a big deal, Adam. You'll be first in line.
That's because baseball starts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that why?
Yeah, Shane. They're tying it in.
Is that it, Adam?
Yep.
Jared, push some buttons.
He's pushing all these buttons.
He is. He's back here.
All separate buttons.
Every sound.
Every single sound has
Jared's
its own
on his
button.
Keyboard and guitar right now. Now he's on the drums.
It's amazing. It's created on
my
the fly.
My favorite part of the show is when Jared does the sound effects a cappella.
Turn him off here and just do the sound effects and we'll.
No.
He won't do it. He's not a monkey. We've learned that.
I'm going to read some comments.
Dance, Jared.
We got some comments on the last show. Chris Waffle says, thanks for playing our new tune. But no, Earl should not be raising his head up high after his amp bit the dust. Thumbs down.
Oh!
That's right, Earl. A little smack down there from the Chris Waffle.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
I love it. You're just doing what you got to do.
I'm losing my headphone.
Me too.
Weird. So yeah, here's a couple comments here. Angie says, I wonder who that could be. Jared gets his mojo back and the Scope gets another regular listener. Everybody wins. Now I'm having fun listening to back episodes. It feels a bit like spying. To which Adam responds, because I just feel like reading Adam's comment. In hindsight, it's kind of awkward that we talked about Jared's romantic escapades, albeit in a G-rated way, only to have Angie listen and comment on here. Now I feel creepy. I like pretending we have no listeners, so that I can say whatever retarded shit I want, and don't feel creepy about it after. And this is why I won't let Mandy get the internet.
So I've come up with a game plan. For us to get viewers, we have got to go out and get chicks. We'll get them one listener
at a time. We'll be just cross-country banging.
We can't vouch for the quality, baby, but quantity really in this
case. I'm the only one who's going to catch any flack over that one, because neither one of your ladies actually listened.
Okay, well, we'll see. Angie, I'm just going to tell you right now that Jared's going to do what he has to do, and he's a man.
It's
so
for the good of the show.
Is it good?
Adam Curry has mandated we need at least 10,000 listeners.
Adam Curry says so. We do what Adam Curry says, and you probably don't even know who he is, Angie. You probably don't even know who he is. Downtown Julie Brown? No.
If you would like to be one of the first
regular
Adam
Julie Brown?
Out,
no.
I know.
Fine, cut me off. That's
sorry.
All right.
Sorry,
I had a whole
ahead.
Thing going there.
Go ahead, please.
No, that's all right. Write an email, comment at thescopeshow.com.
I had a Julie Brown joke. Whatever. You got to get behind that.
Oh, I got a challenge for some of our listeners.
Do you?
Yeah. I would like for listeners to go out to iTunes and actually write a review of the show.
Oh,
but
I
only,
like that.
But only if you like us, because we want positive reviews.
Yeah.
As Shane mentioned earlier, we've only got two reviews on
iTunes. And
they're
great reviews, Jared.
They're great reviews. But it would be nice to have some more feedback on there that maybe people would come across if they're considering listening to the show, and that's where you come in, the faithful Scope listener. So just go to iTunes, search for the Scope, get on there, and
Yeah,
Can we put a big link on our website to do that?
Yeah,
like a big graphic or something.
Yeah, blinking. I think if you click on the subscribe on iTunes button.
No, I want something more, like custom made, like review us or else, you bastards.
Would you like flames and maybe a spinning email logo?
Something obnoxious. Something about 1996.
I'll break out the marquee tag for you.
I love it.
DancingHamsters.com.
Dancing Hamsters right next to an Apple logo.
Whatever.
Nothing.
What do you want?
It is what we thought it was, Jared.
A little animated under construction sign.
Obama!
Jen, I've got some plugs.
Do it.
Possible Oscar, my band, will be performing at Odyssey Con next weekend, April 4th through 6th in Madison, Wisconsin. We will be performing that Friday, April 4th, 11 p.m.
Next weekend you're going to be out?
Yeah.
I'll be in Madison. Is your girlfriend, if I may say that, going with you to Madison?
No.
Is she going to drive up?
No.
Little caravan?
That's not part of the plan.
Hmm. That's too bad. Help me out, Adam. Come on.
But is Angie coming?
Oh, there we go. Adam, you saved the day.
Oh, look at you. Yes. No. I don't know. John will
You've
be there.
You got him on the ropes.
You got me all confused. And then I just booked a new show.
Oh, really?
In Des Moines, Iowa.
I thought it was a Letterman.
DemiCon, May 2nd through 4th. And I believe this will be a solo show for John Cannot Make It.
So. Girlfriend alert, will she be there?
Yes,
so if
she
all
will.
The groupies are after you, back off, ladies.
It's in Des Moines, so it's local for her. And I think Saturday at 5 p.m. is when I'm going on.
And then I think the weekend after that, Jared will be playing an IHOP in Des Moines. And then the weekend after that, he'll be playing a Target in Des Moines. Correct?
Possibly. Maybe Costco. I'm not sure. We haven't nailed all the details yet.
In front of the little merry-go-round that three kids can sit on.
Exactly. Just me and my...
ukulele.
Little beatbox going there. And...
Oh, there's more.
Yes, I've got a lot of plugs for my band.
150 we're at right now.
Sorry, I'm going to get it out there. You just keep interrupting me. As of this episode being released, there is a new song available on thefump.com for Impossible Oscar. So go check that out. That's thefump.com.
We need to get some stuff going, Adam, because
Adam's
we have
tuned out.
Nothing.
His headphones are off.
Adam's ready to go.
He's done.
My ears are hot. A few of us from old work, you know, so your friends that aren't mine anymore, we started something last week. So
you started something? What are you, Michael Jackson?
We
gotta be starting
something. We have a new gang that we started, so we'll see how that works out.
Okay.
And
throw your sign up.
And kick... It looks like a nacho. there.
It does look like a nacho. Dorito, perhaps.
Shit.
Or pink triangle.
Oh, and kickball. Kickball starts.
Kickball started.
Kickball! We got to break out the kickball thing now.
I'm going to be out of... I'm going to miss a couple of them, I'm sure.
Are you president or captain of your team?
No, because I'm not at Market Watch anymore. I'm not doing any of that stuff. But
So you're playing with Market Watch players?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All the
good
same,
for you.
Same people.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got our plugs in. I'm going to do a show note. Next weekend, 2 weeks from now, I'm very excited about our next show. We're calling it Scope Secrets.
I'm just telling everyone right now what mine is. Now do the bleep sound the whole time.
So you
hold for edit? All right.
The plan for this show is to, each of us are going to release a secret that we have told very few or no one, something that maybe we're not proud of, something we're very proud of, or something we are... sickened by. It's going to be a big show.
It's called a publicity stunt, people. Tell your friends.
Yeah, this is how we're getting ratings. Tell your friends to find out what sick and twisted, demented things your three Scope hosts are involved in.
The big question is...
Maybe we could get one of our special guest stars to stop into and spill a secret. That might be a
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Are we all coming in with like three different levels of bad, and then like
whoever
goes first...
You saw my email that sort of listed out the level, you know.
Yeah, but I always want to top you. So.
I mean, my phone is ringing here. So let's wrap this thing up.
We're gonna wrap it up.
This is episode 47. We love you. Thanks for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks. 48.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.